I'd like to call to order the March 24 committee hearing, Judiciary Policy and Finance. Clerk, would you take the roll, please?
Chairman Smith?
Here.
Vice Chair Szymanski?
Here.
Representative Johnson is excused. Representative Anderson?
Here.
Representative Champion?
Here.
Representative Cornish?
Here, I think.
Representative Grunhagen?
Here.
Representative Hillstrom?
Here.
Representative Creasel?
Here.
Representative Lane is excused. Representative Lesh? Representative Liebling?
Here.
Representative Mazereau?
Here.
Representative Moline?
Here.
Representative Schumacher?
Here.
Representative Vogel?
Here.
Representative Wardlow?
Here.
Chair notes that we do have the presence of a quorum, so we'll get right on with our business this morning. First item would be consideration of the approval of minutes from March 22, 2011 meeting. They are in the packet. May I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Representative Creasel moves approval of the minutes from March 22, 2011. Any discussion? Hearing none, though, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, just a quick note before we get on to the next business, House File 440 and consideration of the amendments. This room that we're currently in is available until noon today, and it's the intention of the chair to run past our normal 10 o'clock time if necessary. And having said that, the chair now would like to bring back House File 440 before the committee. Chair moves House File 440 to be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Now, to get the bill in the shape that I would like to have it, I'll move the DE3 amendment. It's in your packet. There's no discussion on getting the bill in that shape with the DE3 amendment. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, I have one other amendment I'd like to present before I proceed, and that's the amendment A8. It strikes reference to collective bargaining in the bill. It's not necessary, and so I would move that amendment. Discussion. If none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Now I will proceed to present House File 440 as amended. Very briefly, members, the on the Article 1, Appropriations and Riders. I'm going to let our fiscal analyst again review the appropriations on the spreadsheet. But the key change in the DE3 amendment from the DE2 amendment is the appropriation of additional sums for the guardian ad litem board. The DE3 amendment does not include the Supreme Court operations rider concerning judicial and referee vacancies out of respect to concerns voiced in our previous hearing. The rider concerning the civil legal services use of state funds was revised to address a concern with the word, quote, claim, unquote, being too broad. I've invited Civil Legal Services to continue working with me on this bill as it works its way through the process. And as just amended, we remove references to collective bargaining in regards to the salary freeze and mileage reimbursement cap. That, again, I thought language was not necessary. There are no changes in the remaining articles. At this point, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So did you say you took the salary freeze out? I'm just kind of doing the lines.
No, Representative Hillstrom, the salary freeze recognizes the existence of one that's been in place for all the employees in this room, and we decided to take the collective bargaining out at my request, leaving an additional 2 years to run on the salary freeze. Okay. Fiscal analyst, could you bring us up to date on the numbers?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So on the new spreadsheet, which reflects the DE3 amendment, I just want to point out the changes, the differences that are in here. On lines under the district courts, on line 33, I added there was a savings from House File 440 before all the delete-alls and it became the omnibus bill. And so there was a statutory clarification that provided savings for the courts, and that is a savings of $75,000 per year. So that's been added into that item. And then the guardian ad litem board, on line 42, the budget reduction in the previous spreadsheet was for the biennium, it was $2.7 million. And in this, with the new DE3 amendment, the reduction is $379,000 per year. So that's about $750,000 for the biennium. On the second page of the spreadsheet, if you'll look down to lines 84, I also am showing the revenue adjustments. These were some questions that came up as to how much the changes would generate in revenues. And on line 85, this came from House File 1023, and the courts were allowed a greater authority to seek partial payments. And in their fiscal note, they said that they thought it would generate $916,000 per year in additional revenues to the general fund. And this is one of the items that helped offset that change to the guardian ad litem reduction. And then on line 86, there was this is showing the change from the penalty increase that was in House File 556. And this does not affect the general fund. What the increase from those, the increase in revenue that's raised from that penalty change, it gets transferred to the Department of Public Safety, and there's a formula that shows how to distribute those funds. And the fiscal note showed that that increase would be about $46,000 per year, but it doesn't affect the bottom line for the items in the spreadsheet since it goes to the special revenue fund.
Any questions of the fiscal analyst on the spreadsheet? Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And going back to the line 33, if you could just give us another sentence or two of what that is, the statutory clarification that's resulting in a $150,000 cut over the biennium?
Sure, Mr. Chair and Representative Liebling. What House File 440 did, this was the bill that had to do with license plate placement on cars. And so the clarification in statute, my understanding is that it alleviates some of the burden on the courts because now they won't have the people coming in saying that, in fact, that they did not have illegal placement of their license plates. So it just clarifies that statute. And so there's a savings to the courts of $75,000 per year. And I have that initial fiscal note, so I can give that to you, too.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions on the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does the insurance change save any money, and is that on the spreadsheet? Or?
Representative Hillstrom, the answer is yes, about $62,000.
And, Mr. Chair, does that show up on the spreadsheet, or is it just in one of the lines?
I'm sorry, I lost track. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, is that then on the spreadsheet, or is it just reflected in one of the larger numbers?
Representative Hillstrom, it's reflected back on the 75 line. It's part of that number. We do have two amendments, but before we go to those, the bill has been presented. I did close public testimony at the last hearing. However, since we've had a DE3 amendment, is there anyone in the audience wishing to be heard on House File 440 as amended? Please step forward. I see nobody coming forward, so the bill now is back before the committee. Amendments?
Mr. Chair, I have the A7 amendment.
Representative Hillstrom has the A7 amendment. Make your motion and present the amendment. I will just point out to you that the chair has reviewed your amendment, in fact, both of them, and I believe you will have support among this side of the table for both.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A7 amendment is just a way of making certain that none of these responsibilities that we believe are state responsibility will be placed on the county. So the A7 amendment is basically in the public defender's budget that in the event that the state has not adequately funded these and things that are rightfully within the public defender's responsibility should not then be pushed on to the counties and ordered them to pay, Mr. Chair. That's the A7 amendment.
Any discussion among the committee members on the A7 amendment? Discussion? I don't see any. All right, on the motion to adopt the A7 amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The A6 amendment, Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This also goes to protect property taxpayers. This states that in the event that the funding the state gives the guardian ad litem board, if it is not enough, that judges may not order counties to pay for guardian ad litems. If the state is in the business of funding them, the state should do it, and it should not be put on property taxpayers, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Any discussion on the A6 amendment? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A6 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Any further amendments from anyone on the committee? Seeing none, we have House File 440 before us as amendment, as amended. Discussion on the bill. Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I made some comments at the end of our last hearing, and you know, there's been a little change to the bill since that time, but my feelings about it have not changed. I think that we are underfunding our public defender. We are severely underfunding our civil legal services. Both of those things put additional burdens on the courts, as we've all heard and as we've had discussed here over the past weeks. I think this is unacceptable. It is also unacceptable to me that we're raising fees on our poorest folks, and we're essentially shifting that to make things a little better for some other poor folks in this bill. The governor has proposed a budget that would do better than this, and it does better by raising revenue the fair way, not just from the poorest people at the point where they are the neediest, where they're coming to the courts for help, as they are when they're in forma pauperis, which is, as we all know, when they're coming saying they're too poor to pay the fees that are otherwise required. And I think that this bill, although, Mr. Chair, again, this is not a personal issue with you, certainly I know that you're very concerned about the courts as well, but, you know, a lot of people were elected with rhetoric that we didn't need more revenue, that we were just fine, that we could just cut the fat somewhere. Well, obviously the big growth is not in this part of the budget. The big growth is in the Health and Human Services budget, where today I and some of the other members of this committee are going to be debating, probably for most of the day and into the evening, we're going to be debating that bill. And the reason I bring it up here is because the rhetoric turns out to be absolutely false. You cannot cut $5 billion out of our budget without doing very serious harm to this state. And even though a lot of that pain is not directly falling in the budget that's before us here, this is relatively a very small budget, as the people here know, this is still not what we need to do. This is failing our citizens, all so that we can avoid having to ask the wealthiest people in our state to pay a little bit more in their taxes. And I think this is very unfortunate and unwarranted, and I am not going to be able to vote for your bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Any other discussion? Representative Lesch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see the results of this bill from a policy ongoing of 8 years now, which has underfunded government as a whole. But I still recall Rich Stanek's retirement speech on the House floor, who chaired this committee when I first came in when I was a brand new freshman. And his primary thrust statement was public safety is a core function of government. At that time, it included all the courts and the purview of this committee jurisdiction. Unfortunately, because of an overarching fiscal and revenue policy in both bodies of the legislature, we're not doing justice by this bill. Historically, this bill has been a very bipartisan effort. This committee has been generally bipartisan because people generally like public safety. There are some disagreements that I would have from a prosecutor and Representative Liebling defense perspective, and I remember when I first came in, it was between me and Representative Ellison, who at the time always came after me from his defense attorney perspective. But nonetheless, overall, we encouraged the fair funding of the courts and of the public defenders and of all the areas under this committee. I have severe problems with the results of what's occurred, the fiscal tail wagging this dog, because from the years to come, we're all going to be regretting what has happened here, which you may be considering is beyond the control of the chair, because I know the mind of the chair is that we need to do more for the courts and for the folks considered under this bill. But it needs to happen from the caucus as a whole. And I have grave concerns as to what's going to happen in the years to come. So, Mr. Chair, I know you feel like you've done your best with what you've been given. I think you should be given more. And I think it's up to the members of your caucus to find a way to give you more overall because of the fiscal policy. But until that happens, I'll be voting no as well.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cornish.
I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Chair, for a great job and a great bill. Appreciate it.
Representative Hillstrom, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, too, will be voting no on this bill. The Chief Justice came before this committee. She broke with precedent, and she stated that the courts were at a breaking point and that one out of four serious felonies take more than a year to get to trial. And for 30% of abused children who are taken out of their home, it takes more than a year to tell those children where their permanent home is going to be. That delays have doubled and in some counties tripled over the past few years. And worse, the Minnesota Court of Appeals had recently dismissed three felony convictions for failure of the state or district courts to meet the speedy trial demands, which is, of course, you know, the ultimate constitutional safety valve for delay in the criminal justice system. Mr. Chair, we were told that the court is now operating in a 10% short staff, and despite needing more than 20 judge, they were just going to hope to hold the courts harmless. Mr. Chair, you did give the courts everything they requested in this bill. Ultimately, it was at one of the justice partners' expense, Civil Legal Services. At the beginning of session, 10 groups came in to my office and said, we are all the justice partners, and it takes all of us to make this work. And in fact, one of the justice partners is going to bear the cut for the entire area, Mr. Chair. I just want to say to all the justice partners that are in the audience, this is the beginning of the process, not the end. You have many other committees potentially to go through, ways and means, potentially taxes, and the floor. And you will directly be competing against Health and Human Services funding. You will be directly competing against K-12 education funding. Courts will be directly competing against cops and prisons. And if you are prepared to throw each under the bus when funding is tight, there will be no justice partnership at the end. I am very concerned about that, Mr. Chair. I, too, will be voting no. And I'm saddened that this is the first public safety budget in 10 years that I don't think will be bipartisan, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Liebling.
Mr. Chair, a question. Is this bill going to go to taxes?
The motion before us is that House File 440 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to Ways and Means. So from here, it will go to Ways and Means.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I'm not going to make a motion, but I This bill has fees in it, and as we know, the law defines a fee as a tax, and it's been our practice that, and I believe that even the tax chair said on the floor that he wants all fees to go to his committee. So I don't know if after Ways and Means it would be going to taxes, but I expect that would that be the plan, Mr. Chair?
Well, my thoughts are as follows. Representative Liebling, I will request Ways and Means not send it to taxes. I think the revenue that you see, the numbers you see in the bill, a fee and a tax are something that have to be paid. It has to be paid. What's in this bill is under the discretion of a judge, so it can still be waived. Therefore, it does not fit the statute's definition or your definition of a fee or a tax. So, no, I will resist and will see that this bill goes to Ways and Means and from there to the floor.
Okay, well, Mr. Chair, thank you. In any event, I would like to ask for a roll call on the bill.
Roll call's been asked for. Any further discussion on the bill? Clerk, take the roll.
Chairman Smith?
Yes.
Vice Chair Shemansky?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Representative Champion?
No.
Representative Cornish?
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen?
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom?
No.
Representative Caruso?
Yes.
Representative Lesh?
No.
Representative Liebling?
No.
Representative Maswell?
Yes.
Representative Moline?
No.
Representative Schumacher?
Yes.
Representative Vogel?
Yes.
Representative Wardlow?
Chair notes that there are 10 votes in favor of the bill as amended, 5 votes opposed. The motion does prevail, and the House File 440 as amended is recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. We have no... Representative Hillstrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was hoping you weren't going to just adjourn, but if you want to make an announcement first, I just have a question for you. Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Shoot.
Mr. Chair, is this our last meeting, or do you anticipate we'll be coming back?
Representative Hillstrom, we will be coming back. It will not be next week, maybe even a little longer than that. It is my intent to hear several strictly policy bills. I know Representative Champion has one. I may have a few, so we will come back. And I'm still not certain how the bills might coalesce. It could be in the form of an omnibus bill alone. It could be in the form of standalone bills, or we might have two routes. So it's up to the committee at that point. Yes, we will be coming back, but by golly, not next week. Any further comments? I'd like to thank everyone in the audience for being patient with this committee. And Representative Lesh, you might be surprised if I decide to tell you in private someday how much money I really asked for in this committee. But we worked with what we got, and the folks that provide the third branch of government and the adjunct to the third branch of government deserve every ounce of support we can give them, because we ultimately will be passing bills this session, telling them what to do and what not to do. So we appreciate you. I want to thank every member of the committee, the DFL. You've been, ladies and gentlemen, very polite. I don't think I went home with heartburn, although I did spend 2 days in the hospital, so in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't be so generous. And the Republicans, all of us, you did a good job. Pages, thank you. Aaron, thank you. Vice Chair Shemansky, Jody, fiscal staff, legal staff. Right now, I have nothing further to say, but thanks. This meeting is adjourned.